We run this mother. Yeah. Girls, we run this mother. Yeah. Girls, we run this mother. Yeah. Girls, we run this mother.
Welcome, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to Queen Bee and me here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As ever and always, I've got Anya Esther in the booth. Thanks for being here, Anya, on this dreary, wet Thursday.
It is indeed a dreary, wet Thursday.
But you know what's entertaining me today? The utter and total dysfunction in the Republican Party. So I've been avoiding the speaker contest for a while, but today was such a roller coaster that I feel compelled to talk about it. 844-967-2789. How are you reading this? How does this bode for American democracy? Oh, by the way, how does it bode for government shutdown on November 17th? How does it bode for Ukraine funding for Israel? And, if you don't already know why Jim Jordan is completely unfit to serve as Speaker of the House of Representatives, keep it locked, because I am going to woodshed this guy. There's no metric, there's no measure under which Jim Jordan is a good Speaker of the House. Call me up if you think you've got some sort of metric other than basically being a liar, liar, pants on fire, and a big fat jerk to people and not wearing a suit coat jacket. If those were the three like metrics by which the Speaker of the House of Representatives should be chosen, then Jim Jordan's your guy. But on anything that actually matters, call me up if you think you can make an argument, because you can't. You cannot win this argument with me. 844-967-2789. Let's just recap what happened today. So Jim Jordan lost once. He lost twice. And then it seemed like they were going to meet in conference, the GOP House members. They were going to figure out a way to give the acting speaker pro tempore additional powers, you know, so we can deal with the two global conflicts that are going on that threaten world order and Western democracy in the case of Ukraine. So the business of government could actually happen. And then they figured out, oh, gee, we would have to talk to Democrats to get that done. So they pitched that idea. And now Jim Jordan's saying he's going to pull a third House vote. Keep in mind, he lost a vote in between votes number one and number two. What is going on? This guy? They can't find a consensus candidate that their own membership can get behind. Let's be clear. McCarthy was the first speaker ever fired out of the job. It is now the longest period of time that the United States has gone with a vacancy in the speakership of the House of Representatives. And the House cannot transact business. It can't bring legislation to the floor. It can't do anything without a speaker. It's the government shutdown before the government shutdown. I mean, that's what we got. That is what we've got. So let's go through Jim Jordan's resume. If you're a fan of Gilda Radner, I should call it the resume to get the job. Let's talk about Jim Jordan's resume. My argument, he's unfit by any measure. What do you think? 844-967-2789. If you think you can make an affirmative case for Jim Jordan as speaker that basically doesn't distill down to the fact that he's a liar, never wears a suit jacket, and basically is a rhetorical bomb dropper, a rabid guard dog, if you will, of Donald J. Trump, that's it. Anything that you argue on the pro-Jim Jordan side, that's all it amounts to. Supplication to Donald Trump and his enablers and co-conspirators. So here we go. Let's start with Jim Jordan when he was the Ohio wrestling coach, shall we? Permitted the sexual abuse of the young men whom he was charged with protecting and mentoring as student athletes at Ohio. Not only did he fail to protect them, he then went had the audacity when this started to come out in the press to pressure them, to emotionally manipulate them in teary-eyed phone calls. Please, please, please don't talk about this publicly. You'll ruin my career. What a wimp. What a wimp. By the way, the guy that did that was the sexual abuser of these young men, he killed himself. It's well over 100 accusations of sexual assault. That's Jim Jordan's integrity. Disgust me to hear members on the House floor talking about the integrity of Jim Jordan. If you won't protect young men and women from sexual abuse as a coach sworn to protect them, you do not have any integrity. All right. Jim Jordan has passed not a single piece of legislation since he became a member of Congress in the year 2006. I'm going to repeat that. Jim Jordan has not authored a single piece of legislation that has become law since he became a member of the House of Representatives in 2006. It's 16 years, people. Nothing. Not one thing. Zero, zippo, zilch. The big donut. I'll talk about why. It's mostly because the guy doesn't ever want to compromise or engage in any sort of bipartisanship. In other words, Jim Jordan's entire political brand is obstruction, vilification of the other party, and refusing at every turn, even at the expense of his own legislative record, of his own ideas, to get anything done. He's the guy who literally doesn't want to get anything done, and yet he's raising his hand to be the person who's supposed to help things get done in the House. What? There is, out of the Lugar Center and the McCourt School of Public Policy at Georgetown University, they call it the Bipartisan Index. Would it surprise you to find out that Jim Jordan has literally been in the bottom five basically the entirety of his career? Like, the only ones that are doing worse than him are Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, those brain trusts. In the bottom, another nonpartisan organization, the Common Ground Committee, also ranks him basically at the very bottom of the 435 members of Congress in terms of bipartisanship. Oh, here's this other nonpartisan entity. It's called the Center for Effective Lawmaking, a joint project out of Vanderbilt University and the University of Virginia. It tracks not only the bills that become law, which include things like, hey, let's rename the post office in my district for this person that's famous in my district for doing blankety blank, which are non-substantive bills that don't have any real impact beyond, you know, a name on a federal building. Important symbols, but it's not actual legislation. So the Center for Effective Lawmaking, the CEL, ranks the impact of bills, how hard they are to get passed, and it comes up with effectively a composite rating of members of Congress. Would it surprise you that Jim Jordan's rating is basically a zero? Zero. It's everything he's introduced, everyone has known since he introduces it that it is dead on arrival, that it won't garner support in the Senate, or that it's otherwise just not going anywhere. It's just shameful. Shameful. Now, to put that in context, in the last Congress, only four other congresspersons ranked lower than Jim Jordan on this index that the Center for Effective Lawmaking comes out with. He has been in the bottom five in each of the past four Congresses. He's always been in the bottom quarter in every Congress he's ever served in over 16 years. Shameful. But let's look at that in comparison, right? Hakeem Jeffries. Last Congress sponsored 9 substantive bills that went on to pass, including 4 that became law. Now, people may say, well, Jeffries was with the majority of Democrats in both the House and the Senate and the presidency. Well, guess what? Jim Jordan was part of the Republican majority in the House while the Senate was controlled by the GOP, while there was a Republican president from 2017 to 2019, still didn't get a single bill done. Kevin McCarthy, during Jordan's tenure, same amount of time. They've basically been in Congress for the same amount of time. And I'll just footnote this very briefly. Part of the reason that this became such a blankety blank show is because all these guys kind of hate each other and are really competitive. I guarantee you, if the House Republican caucus was all women, there would be a speaker. Mark my words, write it down. More women equals less dysfunction. McCarthy, during Jordan's same tenure, has sponsored 17 bills that passed and 8 that became law, and 5 of those were substantive. Steve Scalise, during Jordan's tenure, the 3 of them have been around for about the same amount of time, has sponsored 8 substantive bills that passed and 1 that became law. By that measure, Jim Jordan stinks at his job. He shouldn't be elevated and praised. He should be fired. He's that bad. What is going on? I'll answer my own question. The GOP is no longer a legitimate political party in the United States. They can't govern themselves, and they certainly cannot be entrusted to govern in this country anymore. I'm going to keep taking Jordan to the woodshed when we come back. You don't want to miss the rest of this as you roll into the weekend. You might have, you know, that dinner with the uncle that thinks Jim Jordan's the best thing ever. You want to be armed to defeat that uncle in a little discussion, or at least say, hey, what do we think is important in a speaker? And beat him at that game too. 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. I'm taking Jim Jordan out, folks. I can't believe we're still talking about this clown here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm so good with this. I remind you I'm so hood with this. Boy, I'm just playing. Come here, baby. Hope you still like me. Hate me. My persuasion can build a nation. Endless power. Without love, we can devour.
Sleeping, you're on your tippy toes, creeping around like no one knows. Think you're so criminal. Bruises on both my knees for you. Don't say thank you, oh please. I do what I want when I'm wanting to. My soul so cynical. So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh.
No, Billy, Jim Jordan is the bad guy. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As ever and always, you can join us 844-967-2789. Don't forget to go get that app from your favorite app store for free. You can listen crystal clear anywhere you've got cell service, which is nice, gotta say. Jim Jordan is unfit by any measure to be Speaker of the House. He's passed 0 legislation. He engages in 0 bipartisanship. He basically just rabidly self-promotes and traffics in lies and conspiracy theories. He's argued in favor of government shutdowns. I'm just going to pause on that one. He's argued in favor of government shutdowns.
That's what you want your government employees doing, right? Hey, let's shut down for a bit. Let's not work. Okay.
let's basically run the bus that we're driving over entire sectors of the U.S. economy, over federal workers, over air traffic controllers. Let's jeopardize the safe health, the safety, healthy, the health, safety, and welfare. There, I can get it out of Americans so that I can self-promote. Performative politics, the exertion of power simply for the exertion of power's sake, in order to make myself look more important. Jim Jordan, everybody, your Speaker of the House of Representatives. He's an insurrectionist. He was at a Stop the Steal rally in Pennsylvania. He will not acknowledge that Trump lost the election in 2020. I'm going to repeat that one, too. Will not acknowledge that Donald Trump lost the election in 2020. And at least one of his Republican colleagues has said, I will give you my vote if you simply say that on the record. That rep is Ken Buck. Jim Jordan refuses to do so. Oh, and by the way, about an hour ago, Ken Buck told the press that he's received 4 death threats and that one of his offices, his district offices, has received an eviction notice because the landlord's mad he's not voting for Jim Jordan. By the way, he's not the only one that's received a death threat. Representative Marianne Miller Meeks from Iowa, death threats. Don Bacon, Republican of Nebraska, his wife got a threatening message on her unlisted personal cell phone number. Disgusting. The other ones, the other reps, these are Republicans, not Democrats, Republicans receiving death threats. Steve Scalise, Jen Kiggins, Republican of Virginia, Carlos Jimenez, Republican of Florida, John Rutherford, Republican of Florida. Jim Jordan then tweeted about it. Oh, don't do that. That's bad. That's nice. How about you get in front of a bank of cameras and recorders? You know, those, the gaggle of reporters that are following you around. Why don't you say it when a video or tape recording is going? Don't just tweet about it, Jim. He's an insurrectionist. Here are all the things. Stop the Steal rally in Pennsylvania. Won't acknowledge Trump lost in 2020. He was the main House GOP contact for Donald J. Trump allies in the wake of the 2020 election and leading up to January 6th. Hannity was texting Mark Meadows and who? Jim Jordan. Leading up to January 6th, he refused to comply with the House January 6th subpoena. Oh, yeah, this is Mr. Investigations, Mr. Benghazi, Mr. Hunter Biden, Mr. Let's you know, traffic in conspiracy theories, even though we have no evidence of anything that is criminal at all. Yeah, he doesn't show up when he's subpoenaed. He was in the post-election meeting with senior White House officials, many of these meetings, including a January 2nd, 2021 call to discuss how to, quote, delay the January 6th joint session. In other words, he was trying to help figure out how to stop the peaceful transfer of power. He's an insurrectionist. This guy's going to be the speaker? Shame. He texted Mark Meadows and Mike Pence saying that Pence should refuse certain electors on January 6th. He talked to Donald Trump 2 times on January 6th. Wouldn't it be nice, Jim, if we know what you and Donald Trump talked about that day? Wouldn't it? Nope, let's talk about Hunter Biden's laptop and his nudie pictures. He had 5 calls with Rudy Giuliani post January 6th. Oh, and he asked for a pardon. That's Jim Jordan, insurrectionist. He is unfit by any measure. Republicans should be ashamed. And there is business to be done. Our federal government is teetering on the brink of shutdown. The wall that is holding Putin back in Europe is now crumbling. There is business to be done. Israel and Hamas are at war, and an Israeli ground invasion of Gaza is imminent. There is business to be done, and Jim Jordan is not the man to get business done. Just look at his record. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to have more when we come back. And I got a question for you. We're going to change it up here, lighten it up a wee bit. What is your favorite candy? Do you steal candy from your kids' Halloween tank? 844-967-2789. I've got the data from a consumer survey that may surprise many of us. Do you also hate candy corn? Because I sure do. Keep it locked. Call us up. Let's talk candy next. Here on the show. Survivor. Anya is a survivor. We are survivors. Jim Jordan's not going to survive another vote, though. I mean, heaven help us. Whew. Zero pieces of legislation. That one
doesn't make any sense. That's his job.
If you're speaker, your job is bipartisanship. Basically, yeah. Getting deals done. You got to fund the government in what is today? It's the 19th.
That's right.
So we've got, 12 days to the 31st plus 17 days. You've got less than 30 days to get a government funding bill done. This guy has said that he would rather the government shut down when these issues have come. It's unfit by any measure.
Yeah, it's like a mechanic looking at you and saying, you know, I'd rather just total your car. It's like, I don't care that that's what you want. I want you to fix it. Come on.
Well, let's torture this metaphor, shall we?
Really?
By the way, we're going to be talking candy next. Little bit of a, you like that transition there? What's your favorite candy? Do you steal candy from your kids' Halloween take? Do you like candy corn? Call us 844-967-2789. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a totaled car that the entire GOP keeps getting back in and like repeatedly slamming in, like driving it into a brick wall again and again.
Yeah.
And we're sort of stuck riding shotgun, meaning the American public. There's no defending this guy. Zero. Before we get to the great candy debate of 2023, and I have some strong opinions, I know Anya does too, which is going to be fun. I need something lighthearted before we go into this weekend. I gotta talk about the fact that Sidney Powell, the Kraken lady, has accepted a plea deal. She is pleading guilty to all of the charges that the Georgia district attorney brought against her. It's pretty outstanding because for the last couple of months, she and her attorney have been vigorously denying that she did anything wrong. As part of the plea deal, she agreed to 6 years of basically probation. That's a really long time. She agreed to write an apology letter to the voters of Georgia. I like that one. Can't wait to read that. She's apparently submitted it already. Someone file a FOIA request in Georgia for the apology letter right away. And she gave a video interview, basically as a cooperating witness, to Fani Willis, the DA, yesterday. She is a cooperating witness now. I wonder what she's going to say about the shouting match meeting in the White House days before January 6th. On the record. By the way, an exception to the hearsay rule is statements against interest. In other words, should I do a little tangent on why hearsay is excluded from evidence?
And, I was going to ask you to follow up on that. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, if Anya wants to know, I'm going to assume that other inquiring minds want to know.
Yay.
The hearsay rules aren't arbitrary. Hearsay defined as under oath, I testify to what someone else said. Now, the reason that that's problematic is that I am recalling what someone else said. So I'm inferring, I have to remember, memories can be faulty. And then also the way that we actually store memories is, except for the very small sliver of us that have photographic or orally photographic memories, is that we remember them basically by the impression, our interpretation of someone's statement. That's how we recall them generally. So not only do you have the obstacle of memory, which can be faulty, it's your memory is not perfect. It's your filtered memory. When you combine these things together, what that means is that the testimony is not particularly reliable, except there are instances where other basically artifacts of human psychology overrule those two indicia of unreliability. One is statement against interests. I'm talking to someone and I say something that clearly is against my interests, admits that I've committed a crime, thus and such. Those can be admitted. Now, Donald Trump trying to come up with a reason he can stay in the Oval Office is probably in his interest, but it also depends exactly on how that conversation transpired. Another more intuitive exception to the hearsay rule is a dying declaration. You are shot, you lay dying on the sidewalk, and a cop comes up to you and you say, I killed my next door neighbor in 1993 because your conscience is so overwhelmed with guilt that you say this as you're expiring. That gives you a flavor. Yeah, that's going to be interesting because Sidney Powell is clearly going to be a cooperating witness. It's interesting also because she was involved in this elaborate scheme to basically steal voting equipment from this rural county in Georgia and then contracted with this group to analyze it. I mean, this was extensive. And that bears emphasis, if you will, which is basically like, here again, we have the very thing that these people were accusing others of, they were doing, which is the definition of gaslighting. It's like, oh, I think you're abusing me. No, I'm not actually punching you. You're just running your own head into the corner of a cabinet repeatedly when the person is in fact punching you. And I use that context because it comes up a lot in abuse. This is abuse of democratic process, abuse of the American psyche, abuse of the American electorate. She did what she was saying others had done. In other words, meddling with election equipment. Illegally, without permission. She basically engaged in theft. And let it, just a brief recap, we got Rudy Giuliani basically claiming he's broke. He's got his own criminal charges. The DC bar is called to debar him. He already lost his New York law license in 2021. He's been sued by Dominion Voting System. He's been now sued by his former attorney and former employee. When he was working in the Southern District of New York as an attorney general. And he's been asking Donald Trump to help him pay his bills. That's Rudy. Mike Lindell also claiming he's nearly broke, now going pro se, representing himself in one of his cases. He's getting sued by the guy that's claiming the $5 million prize who proved that Lindell's, quote, proof of election interference was just made up gobbledygook data that didn't prove a gosh darn thing. And of course, he's being sued by Dominion as well. That's fun. Fox News, $750 million. Dinesh D'Souza and True the Vote, they're getting sued too. I could go on. That's the company that Sidney Powell keeps. But on to the more important and pressing matters of the day, Anya, that is candy.
Of course it is.
Candy. Call us if you want to talk about what your favorite candy is. Do you steal your kids' Halloween candy? Now, I don't know about you. I was so OCD as a kid. I would sort it. Dark chocolate, milk chocolate, sour fruity, and then a category of the stuff I just wouldn't eat.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
And I'd basically like get a count on it so that I couldn't have my candy stolen from me in the middle of the night by some nameless, faceless candy thief. Did you the same thing? I mean, I love the fact that like I'm in the company of a fellow OCD-er.
Yeah. I was a candy sorter for sure. In similar categories, I had my chocolates and peanut butters, the couple of gummy type candies I would eat, and then a big pile that dots and candy corn and really bad like lollipops. Not all of them, but the ones that were like flat and would just wreck your teeth. All of those were in one pile for me.
For sure. I hate dots.
Yeah, they're bad.
Always have. Like, they're just, they all taste the same to me. Not a fan of the dots. I'm also not a fan of Milk Duds. Please do not send angry email or text. Like, if I want a malted milk, you know, like, or a chocolate malt, I'll go get a chocolate malt. I don't want some bizarrely crunchy, semi-porous milk chocolate covered. Like, they look like rabbit turds. Milk Duds, not my thing. Okay, so the Great American Candy Corn Debate, 844-967-2789. Good or bad, Anya?
Bad. Bad in every way. Bad texture, bad taste. The one good thing, I think it's cool, if you push them together, you can make them look like a cob of corn. But that's it. That's the only redeeming quality.
It probably is. They're gross. The grainy texture.
Yucky.
The fact that, like, they're unsanitary.
Yeah.
It's like a bar dish of peanuts. Ew.
Of all the vegetables, why would I have wanted corn to be a candy in the first place?
Right. You know, who is responsible for this abomination, right? That Mr. Hershey? Shame on you.
I bet.
Let's be honest. It's always been a bad idea. I mean, candy, never good. Good. Ooh, the other great American candy debate, black licorice.
Also bad.
So it's kind of, there are times when I can tolerate it now if it's really high quality. But I think for kids, it's a candy. When you say candy, I tend to think of like kids. No kid is like, give me some of that anise.
Yeah.
Anise tastes good. Not at all. All right. What do you think America's favorite candy is? And this was, it's a consumer research group that put out a report just this past week leading up to holiday. What do you, Anya, think America's favorite candy is?
Man, if I had to take a guess, I would break myself off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. I think that's America's favorite candy, but I don't know.
So it is America's second favorite candy.
Always number the bridesmaid, never the bride, Kit Kat. I'm so sorry.
Right, and I also don't get the weird, like, Willy Wonka referencing, like, do you like the left Kit Kat or the right? Oh, no, wait, that's
those
Twix.
Those are Twix, Maggie.
I'm getting my crappy milk chocolate confused.
Yeah. Hey now.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
When I read that, I went, oh, nobody, listen, I don't really like milk chocolate, but if somebody's like, hey, you want a Reese's peanut butter cup? I don't even care if that thing's stale. I'm like, that is peanut butter and chocolate together in a handy dandy little bite-sized package. I'm here for it. Everybody loves a Reese's peanut butter cup. M&M's also super, super top five. Snickers, Twix, and Milky Way. I don't get the Milky Way. That's
I don't either. That's not, yeah.
Not my favorite.
It's fine. Do you like glue? I don't get that.
So my last question for you, Anya, We might talk about candy a little bit more when we come back. We'll take some callers if you want to weigh in on why Jim Jordan's unfit, or, you know, the totally related topic of what is your favorite candy and do you steal from your kids? 844-967-2789. I'm going to leave you with this question as we go to break. The Score Bar and the Heath Bar, the hard toffee bars, one in dark chocolate, one in milk chocolate. Are you a fan? 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. She is Anya Esther, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Currently,
welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's Anya Esther. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and you also just got a little sample of candy for your ears. It's ABBA with Dancing Queen. Always a good time. What's your favorite candy? Did your parents steal your Halloween candy?
Absolutely.
Do you steal Halloween candy from your kids? More importantly, do you answer the door when the trick-or-treaters come, or do you dodge them like Jehovah's Witnesses? Angie sharing that my grandkids actually gather me a stash of candy on the text line. We love that, Angie, on Facebook. You can join us on the text line. You can watch us live on Facebook. You can see this Dancing Queen dance in the studio. Let's go right to the lines. Annie, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What's your favorite candy?
Me, but started out when I was young, Three Musketeers were my bar. In college, I had a roommate and her boyfriend who were just totally obsessed with Reese's, you know, which I sort of caught. Lately, there's a thing with, it's not the Nutella because they've come up with stuff now, but it's a different kind of made in Belgium or something. Hazelnut.
Toblerone became a huge fan, which is a European-made chocolate. You, of course, have the Lindor truffles, right? You have Lindt chocolate. All right, I have a question for you, Annie. Do you hand out candy in your neighborhood, or are you like diving to the living room floor when the doorbell goes ding dong?
I'm totally in the country, and nobody comes around. But I did hang out by my mom and help her out for a while when my son was little, who I definitely stole candy from.
Annie, do not feel bad. You are part of the 60+% of American parents. 63% of American parents steal candy from their kids. Thanks for the call. Rico from Rock County, what's your favorite candy? Do you steal it from your kids? Do you answer the door, sir?
Yeah, I kind of get it from the grandkids now. You know, I used to get it from the kids. Now I get it from the grandkids. Reese's and Snickers do not stand a chance in their candy bag. I'll get them out right away.
You're with the majority of American public loving some Reese's and Snickers. I love a Snickers. And I got to tell you, my favorite ice cream treat is Snickers has like a frozen Snickers ice cream bar thing. Those
yes.
are delicious.
Those are great.
Oh yeah. I can get to heaven on that one, huh?
I'd be a little scared to get between one. Rico and
you
a Snickers bar.
Listen, it's not a week on the Maggie Dawn Show when I don't get an oh yeah from Rico. Mike from Sun Prairie, what's your favorite candy? Do you steal candy from your kids? Are you there, Mike? It's me, Margaret. That line's never going to... Hello, Mike. We lost Mike. That's all right. Mark from the SAC. Mike, if you're there, we'll try again. Mark from the SAC, what's your favorite candy?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to like the salted nut rolls. But you brought up Twix and
payday?
I... Payday? I boycotted Twix for a while there because they had that really obnoxious commercial back in the day with the little Boy Scout following the candy bar the guy had dropped, and he goes chasing after him. And the guy says, "You deserve a reward. You most certainly do." And then he just walks away from the kid, and the kid, and just have an image of the kid in the background just hanging his head, and, you know, that, you know, annoyed me, the whole selfishness, you know, thing that
I don't want heartbreak and disappointment from my candy commercials. that makes no sense. Now, do you answer the door? Do you have kids in your neighborhood, Mark? Do you hand out candy?
God, last year I had all candy ready, and hardly any kids showed up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we know where to go now.
Walkable neighborhood.
Everybody show up at Mark's house in the sack. Good to hear from you, friend. Listen, I think this, pardon the food pun here, this cheesy tradition in American culture, this Halloween tradition, is one of those great things that you can do in your neighborhood, in somebody else's neighborhood. You get to see people. Everybody's excited. It's silly. It's a way that we can be together, right, about something that's not sports and isn't dividing us. The biggest thing you got to argue about is the candy. Isn't that a fun argument to have? Because there's no one answer. We're going to talk about the weaponization of loneliness in American politics on Monday. But to me, the setup here, the reason I'm talking about candy is because what we do to celebrate Halloween, whether you're a young 20-something dressing in foolishly cold costumes and going to an alcoholic beverage dispensary.
You don't have to talk about me like that, Maggie. I'm right here.
Oh, hi, Anya.
Oh, hi. Sorry.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
John and I are going to be Jack and Wendy Torrance from The Shining. So it's not the best relationship goals, but it's a fun costume. So
who's going to be Billy?
Oh, I'm going to make a little koozie for my beer that looks like Billy, and I'm going to carry him around.
Perfection.
No,
but
is that the little kid's name, Billy?
I think it is. I'm sure someone will text us.
Yeah, someone will text us
angrily
quick.
And be like, "That's not the kid's name.
You're not a film major, Anya. Get out of here." Oh,
Madison Plummer here. Absolutely, I take a dad tax, meaning he steals his kids' candy. I'm with you on that one. If I had kids, I'd steal their candy. But again, the reason I'm talking about this is it's not politics that separates. It's not these distractionary wedge issues that Republicans trump up, pun intended, to distract us from what's really important. Fair voting access, a fair minimum wage, a fair tax system, clean air, clean water, good food supply that we can rely on. You know, those things. But here's something that does bring us together. We actually go outside. We see one another. We see our neighbors. Sometimes people from another neighborhood come into our neighborhood. What about this if you live in Mequon and you think people are not from your neighborhood? Welcome them. Have a conversation. Enjoy each other's company. Back in my day, it was unheard of for there to be nighttime trick-or-treating. I love that that's now coming back, and it's coming back in all corners of all kinds of neighborhoods. My folks still live in on the northwest side of the city of Milwaukee, and they do nighttime trick-or-treating. They actually have sort of like a bonfire block party thing. It's so cool. I love the coming together. It is the antidote to the Jim Jordan problem. Jim Jordan doesn't happen if everybody's out there trick-or-treating and giving of themselves to one another in their neighborhoods and beyond. So go have the time of your life this Halloween. Buy some candy, share some candy, maybe steal some candy from your grandkids. But don't tell anybody I told you to do it. I'm Maggie Dawn.